Good morning. It does bring me great joy to be with you here today. I hope that you are blessed. I hope that you're encouraged. I hope that you are glad to be here. All of us have different journeys. For some reason, somehow, we're here together. We believe that God brought us together. We believe God wants to do something in our hearts, in our lives, and maybe in this community, in this world, what could be, maybe what should be. Perhaps the Lord will act. We are grateful for this day. We are grateful for this time. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for us gathering together, for us gathering in your name. We give you praise for those that had a dream, had a vision. What if the Lord wanted to do something in St. Lucie West and Port St. Lucie and Fort Pierce and the Treasure Coast? What if we said yes and follow where he leads? Now, almost 20 years later, we're gathered here together in your name. Many of us in this room, Lord, call this home. And we are grateful. So grateful. Some of us, though, have not come to know this place as home yet. And we pray that we would love them in a way that they would know of your love. Lord, it starts with your Son. It starts with your work in us. By the power of your Holy Spirit, and we gather around your word, and we pray that you would give us insight and wisdom, that you would give us direction so that we may be your people. Help us, Lord. Help us with all the distractions. Help us with all the stuff that we are feeling and experiencing right now. Help us not to be afraid of what you want to do. We pray, Lord, that you would give us your peace and your presence now. All the things that we carried in here, we'd be able to just let go right now and trust you with them. All the projects, all the tasks, all the problems, that we'd let you be God. That we wouldn't pick up that mantle again. We pray this in your name. Amen. I've been going through the series, looking through the book of Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians is an encouraging letter, a letter about friendship, a letter about community, a letter that supports and encourages, a letter that challenges, but it is a great picture of what the church can be and should be. And I see many, many elements of that in our community here, and I'm thrilled about that. But there's so much here we still have to learn. Paul is writing to this church, and he says this: "We sent Timothy, who is our brother and co-worker in God's service, in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. For you know quite well that we are destined for them. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us, just as we also long to see you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now, we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray, most earnestly, that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father, when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones." This is the word of the Lord. It's interesting, if you will, when we look at, I know it's a lengthy scripture, but we look at this church who's being encouraged, who's being challenged, who's saying, because of you, we have joy. Because of how you live, we have joy. Because of how you love, we have joy. Think of being a proud parent or grandparent. Think of being so proud of what someone has achieved, where they were to where they are, what God has done, and how they've journeyed. This letter is all about imitation, and not in a bad way. Don't get me wrong here. This is about how can we reflect God's light and love. He says, listen, I've presented a way, I've modeled the way, keep doing the way, and they are. But they are under persecution. It is illegal to be a Christian in their realm. They are being, let's just say, attacked. It is not welcomed, their message, and yet they are gathered. They keep working to see what God is going to do. Well, this, if you will, last several weeks we've been spending together has been all about how and why is the church the church? What is the church about? The church, believe it or not, is not a building, but a gathered community for a purpose, for God's purposes. And yet, sometimes we think of the church as the place we go to, the place that we go to on Sundays. Our location might be 915. But the reality is, the church is you and I. It's the people. It's us coming together in the name of Jesus, serving, caring, loving, forgiving, praying, supporting. One of the questions I keep asking in this series is, where has God placed you? Where has he put you so that he can work through you? Many of us kind of put, oh, well, that's okay. A wonderful gentleman I've been really enjoying to know on a deeper level. We've been working together, built a loft for my daughter, and his parents used to go here. They moved away, the Pluckelmans. Some of you might know them, but their son, Darren Pluckelmans, a teacher in our school system, a great, great guy, humble guy, knows the Lord, follows the Lord. And I was talking to him about this several weeks ago, about the series and what I was looking to do, and talking about it. And I said, you know that every person has 168 hours. And he's like, okay. You know, he's like, what do I do with that? I said, no, for every week, everyone has 168 hours. I said, just take out 48 hours. Now again, some of you brought up last time I shared this that, you know, that's not enough for like 8 hours of sleep a night. And I went, not enough for almost 7 hours of sleep a night if you really do the math well. But yeah, you're right. I said, I'm not saying that's ideal. I'm just saying, just for the math, let's look at this. So if we took 48 hours out of sleep, 10 hours for the church life, ministry, maybe small group Bible study, service, daily devotions, things like that, 10 hours a week, that leaves you 110 left. And so where has God placed you, and how can you partner with where he has you? If you're a middle schooler, guess what? Your frontline ministry is your school. If you pick up the grandkids, guess what? Your frontline ministry is probably picking up the grandkids and loving on them. If you're a stay-at-home mom, do I need to say what your frontline ministry is? Where has God put you? Now, some of these places he's put you, you might not want to be at, and that's okay. There's a whole people, God's people, in the, when they are actually exiled in Scripture, we find that they are just brought into a place where they do not want to be. They're praying, God, please deliver us. We do not want to be where you have us. And then he sends good word through a prophet. And this prophet, Jeremiah, is a wonderful prophet, but he never brings good news. I'm just going to let you know that. Jeremiah can just suck the life out of you when you read him a little bit. Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I'm just getting real here. He does share hope, but it's not the hope that they wanted. He says, God's going to deliver you. But before he does, he says, grow where you're at. I put you where you're at. Now be my people where you're at. He says, get jobs, get married, build houses, work for the good, pray for the good of this community. This foreign nation that is over you, pray for them. Because if it prospers, then you're going to prosper. That I have my hand on you and them, and I have you here for a reason. And sometimes our ministries, the 110 hours, sometimes I call them as frontline ministry, where God has placed you first and foremost. He's placed you there. Sometimes you don't want it, and yet God has you there. And it's our response when he is God to say, yes, Lord. Now, what is the question? That's not easy sometimes. A lot of times. When you get the doctor's report and you go before him and you're like, Lord, I'm not seeing anywhere where I was thinking that this was a good idea, that we should go down this path. And he says, I am faithful. In spite of your circumstances, I am faithful. I am here and I have you where I want you. Last year, and he didn't know I was going to say this, but we have a good relationship. I think it can take this hit. Tom DeShazio decided to get sick a lot about a year and a half ago. And his frontline ministry was in the hospitals with the doctors. I'd go to visit him in the hospital, and it was like a party going on when I'd walk up to the room. Now, most rooms are not like this, okay? Most rooms, a little more somber, a little bit, hey, we're trying to pray, we're trusting the Lord. I'm a good distance from his room. They gave him a corner room, I think on purpose, to kind of limit the sound, right? And I'm coming out, I mean, I'm a good 20, 30 feet, and I'm hearing, I mean, boisterous laughter. And as I'm walking in, I'm like, why didn't I get the invite? Like, what's going on? They're just having a good old time. And it's brothers and sisters in Christ, it's family, it's friends. And every time someone came in the room, if they were not part of that family, if you will, he was sharing the hope he had in Jesus. And he was, I mean, they're coming in and they're like, hey, I haven't seen you yet. What's your name? And he'd tell them their name. And you know what? There's a little jar here. I want you to grab something out of there. And they're like, sorry? And he's like, just trust me. Just trust me. Grab him. It's called a warm and fuzzy. I want you to get a warm and fuzzy. He'd go and get the warm and fuzzy, and he'd explain what it warm and fuzzy meant. And he's, yeah, I just want you to know God loves you. Bold. Suffering. But bold. I went over and told him later, I said, good news or bad news? Most people, by the way, say, you know, bad news first. I'm not sure why. I know people explain to me, it just doesn't make sense. Anyway, he said bad news. I said, well, you're going to get sick a lot more. And he's like, what? And I said, the good news is, it's because God is using you in major ways. I said, you need to stop doing this if you want to get better. I'm sorry, Tom. In all seriousness, there wasn't a condition on his circumstances. It was because he was saying, Lord, this is where you have me. I want to be faithful. Not sure, I don't want to go down this road. But yes, Lord. Now what's the question? So I ask you, what is your frontline ministry? One thing you'll learn quickly, and you can ask Tom about this today. He's in the second row up here. Wave your hands, Tom, because I will never point out a guest. I won't do that to you. I won't pass out a mic. But Tom and Dr. Hill, I will. Dr. Hill's like, I didn't even do anything again. Welcome back again. Welcome back. She's going to hurt me later. But this is what I want you to ask him about. Community. How important it is to have one another. How important it is to be supported. How important it is to know that there is someone who you can go to and say, I need your encouragement, I need your prayers, help. Who is that person in your life? Do you have that person? Who is that person that, or those people that you know have your back no matter what? Because believe it or not, the way the scriptures paint it, the church is to be that. The church is to be that family that you can count on, the family that says, we're here no matter what. We're struggling, we're here for you. You're having a tough season, not just a tough day, a bad day. We're here for you. Not because you're perfect, we're perfect. Not because anyone has it together, but because God has called us to support one another, to pray for one another, to be the family for one another. Now, when I heard this word family, when I first came here, I kept hearing how this is like a family. And I said, well, I don't know about that. I think it's more than that. I don't know about you, but not everyone understands family in the best way. Not everyone has the best experience when they hear family. My family loved me, no doubt about it. But my family got divorced. My parents got divorced when I was young. And so when I thought of Christmas, it was, which house am I going in? When I thought of any holiday, it was, oh, here it's another reminder of the brokenness. So when I came here, I said, family, I don't know if that works for people. I don't know if they'll really get that and say, oh, I want that. And they said, well, I don't know what to tell you, but that's who we are. And then they did. And I was like, okay, here's what I've come to understand. It's the best understanding of family, that there's a sense of belonging. There's not just a place to go and a people to be with, but people that will support you and love you through the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, I put cost here because it cost Paul something. It cost Paul his life in the end. But when it came down to it, here he is trying to encourage this church. He afraid that with all the suffering and the persecution and the challenges they were going through, and maybe they don't have enough support. And so he says, we sent Timothy. Let me see if I get that. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and co-worker, is a partner, one of the other ministers, and says, to spread the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, so that no one would be unsettled by the challenges of life. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. There are people in your world that do not know the hope and love of Jesus. Family, friends, neighbors, co-workers, fill in the blank. Maybe, just maybe, God's put you there for a reason. Perhaps you are to share the hope of the Lord. Maybe with words, definitely through your actions and your prayers. How do people know you? I was challenged at the Eco Conference, or the gathering down in Miami Springs, because the pastor, professor from Gordon-Conwell, very sharp individual, very challenging in several ways. Here's a black man talking about the challenges of race in our country, in our world, and said, I know we need God's help. There's brokenness in our lives, but the church is perfectly placed for God to help in that brokenness. And when it comes down to it, all lives matter. And so how can we come together? And he really focused on this word equip. It's one of the most important scriptures we have in the Bible, and it's one of the earliest ones we have about the church. And it comes from this book called Ephesians, this letter. And in Ephesians 4, it talks about how God has given the church apostles, sent ones, on mission, prophets, those who call people to be faithful to God, evangelists, those who are called to help others know about who Jesus is, to bring them into the family, shepherds, those who care for the family, and teachers to help us live a life that glorifies God. Day in, day out. And in there, he talks about to equip. He gives us those five groups, if you will, to equip, a word that's used in medical terminology in that time, to set a bone, to put things right the way they were always supposed to be. What needs to be reset in our lives? So that we may be the people God desires us to become. What's the brokenness that we carry along? If you had a broken arm, most of us, dare I say, maybe all of us, would go to the hospital and say, I need this fixed. I need help. And yet because we can't see it, maybe we just don't address it. Brokenness is real. We need God's grace. All of us. So the cost was significant for him. The challenge for all of us. Do we have the courage? Do we dare have the courage to believe God is who he says he is? And he's going to do what he says he's going to do. You are facing problems and challenges. You have questions. You have struggles, and they are real. As I walked in the room at the hospital and saw Caitlin Westner in tears because they just were doing a test on little Bradley Jr., and she was just consoling him. And I see Bradley Sr. in the corner, and they just look like they just been in a boxing match. And I just was like, you are loved. You'll get through this. You're in good hands. There were no doctors and nurses racing around trying to care for little Bradley Jr. because they've assessed and they know what's going on. He's in good hands. I said, take a breath. Take a breath. When real life happens like that, things get clear quickly. What matters most? Our challenge, though, seems to be more of the day-to-day. Well, we don't think God's going to use that other stuff. I promise you, he's everywhere. You never have to pray, God, please be with me when I go on. He's already there. He promised that if you know Jesus, I've sent you the Holy Spirit. And we have to count on him and trust in him. So I leave you with this. How are you seeking to build Christian friendship? How are you seeking to lean on the one that God has provided for you to lean on as our support in Jesus and our brothers and sisters in Christ? Jesus actually, one of the last things he says to his disciples, says, I have called you my disciples, but now I call you my friends. The maker of the universe that spoke into existence all of creation calls us friend. Take that in. Do you believe God is for you and not against you? How are you seeking Christian friendship? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to be gathered together, because that is what the church is, in your name. We thank you for this opportunity, this moment where you can work in us and through us, where you can gather us around your word, gathered around each other, and be encouraged and supported and renewed and filled up with your Spirit. Lord, we don't have to pray for you to be with us, but we do pray that we'd be more aware of it. You are good and you are faithful. And I pray for the Westerners that they would know it in spite of their circumstances, that this would be a moment in their lives where they surrender all to you and you raise them up to glorify you. And Lord, we lift us all up in your hands. For those of us that are just getting through the day, going through the motions, and don't, maybe haven't even thought about how you want to use us right where you have us. Help us to be praying for 110. Praying for the people you put in our circle. We lift up our hearts. We lift up our lives. We pray that we would build up friendships and relationships in here, that we would support one another and care for one another so that we could run the race set before us. We'd have that partner that could encourage us, pray for us, challenge us, and go with us. We know we have that partner in you, but you also made us with a need for people too, and we give you thanks for that. Help us to build that relationship. Lord, I pray that that you would put a burden on each one of us. Tomorrow morning we wake up, we begin to pray for 110. Lord, where do you have us today? Help me to be used. Help me to shine for you. Work through me. Amen. Thank you. Tomorrow morning, I want you to pray. Lord, help me. Help me to use my 110. Help me to be open to how you want to work through me. To not be afraid. To not be unwilling. But to partner with you. Paul said again, we have this brother we sent to you who is a co-worker, a partner. Who are you partnering with? How are you serving him and his people? It's so important that we don't miss these opportunities. One of the ways we keep prepared is through prayer. And so I'm going to ask that you would bow your heads and pray with me. Again, the Lord's Prayer. If you're not familiar with that, that's okay. We'll have the words on the screen and God still hears you with your eyes open. Would you pray with me? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.